This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm waiting for my little head unit here to sign on because I have to stop it from playing.
Whether greased or not.
Well, didn't make it. So I did finish getting my little head unit all installed and everything, and it works good, and I have it set up to where it has a lock screen on it because I have Facebook and all that sort of thing, but I need it to be locked in case I'm not in the car because I don't want people randomly posting on my screen in the car without me being there. So you can also do a thing where you can tell it, okay, so unlock the screen automatically if you sense a Bluetooth connection from a given phone. So when I get in the car, it powers up, it automatically unlocks the screen. And then in the process of automatically unlocking the screen, it remembers what I was listening to last. And in this case, it's Audible. And I'm listening to a book called The Unseen Realm. By Michael Heisner, I think is his name. So that's been pretty interesting. It's interesting to me. The book was highly recommended by a friend. And he said, you know, you may find that there isn't that much surprising in it. But it's talking about the supernatural and the what is meant by Elohim and the congregation of the supernatural beings and what their relationship is to God and what God's relationship is to Earth and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of that kind of thing. And exploring a lot of the things that are odd, problematic passages in the Bible, such as the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and found them pleasant and mated with them, and there were giants in the land. So I have found it to be interesting. I don't know that it has been extremely surprising to me, because growing up overseas in the Philippines, you're much closer to the supernatural and manifestations of the supernatural. We in the Philippines had faith healers, and there were a bunch of fakes, sure, but there were some others that you just, well, okay. Stuff is happening here. Sometimes it was difficult to discern which was which, but that's fine. And certainly, in our home, we had ministers coming through who had ministries in casting out demons and had supernatural experiences that they spoke of. And so there was, you know, sort of an awareness of the realms above us, the principalities and powers. So I've found it a very interesting book. And it's been interesting to hear his interpretation on a lot of these scriptures that you think about, and then to hear how he joins things together. And so it's been good. I've been enjoying it. But now that I have my little Android thing set up, you know, it just automatically takes off when I turn on the car. So I'll have to kind of figure out how I can keep that from taking off when I'm trying to record a podcast. We'll see. Anyways, been a good week at work. Been able to get some things done. We're heading into a really interesting time. We did get all the harvesting done for the end of month this week and got everything pushed over, and we're good there. They are going to be probably starting the end of month process tomorrow morning. And I will not be there for that. But we'll just trust that it will all go fine. So, because I'm going to be in a chicken soup tomorrow. So there you go. Anyway, so work was good. God is kind. He's helped us. we've moved forward. Writing is good. The beta readers have book 18, and some of them have been getting back with me. And so that's all fine and well and good. I probably need to send them out a reminder email this weekend and say, hey, thanks for beta reading. So that's all fine and dandy. I'm working on book 19. I'm about 220 words down this week, but that's okay. I should be able to get that caught up this evening. So that's all good. I'm working on my nudie suit costume in the evenings, and that all seems to be going fine. I'm working on my left boot at the moment. The next step is that I have to stuff my left boot full of material to make sure that it is completely shoved out all the way around, so that when I glue the rhinestone stuff on it and it shrinks a little bit, the rhinestone stuff doesn't stretch, but that should be okay. I'm still not quite sure the glue that I'm going to use to affix the rhinestone sheets to the actual boot. The boot is going to be made out of that pleather stuff, and it's shiny, so I'll probably have to rough it up a little bit with sandpaper, and then I could just hot glue it on, but I could also contact cement the pieces on. The thing about the contact cement is you had better get it in the right spot when you put it on, because you're committed at that point, but maybe that's better. So I'll see. I'll see if Walmart has some of that either barge or DAP contact cement. The only thing with the contact cement is it stinks. It stinks until it cures. So, you know. But it's on there tight. So we'll see. I'll do some reading and we'll go from there. So that's that. I think we're good there. We're good there. I came across an article last week or the week before last, and I just thought, wow, see, I would like to do that. That just sounds so interesting. When I was growing up, the big thing that I had in my mind of things I would like to do, one of the big things was to go on a walkabout. I really didn't call it a walkabout at that point, but then at some point in my experience, I heard the term walkabout and I thought, yeah, that's it. Just go on a walkabout. It just seemed to be something freeing about setting off on foot and just going wherever the trail takes you. And I came across an article on a young man who had gone on a walkabout around the world, which is very impressive. Apparently, the things you learn when you read articles, apparently, there is kind of a base standard for whether or not you can say that you have walked around the world. There you have to hit certain goals. And apparently there is a cadre of people who do this. And it takes years. The young man that I was listening to had, I guess, really got this in his spirit. He wanted to do this when he was just young. I think, if I remember right, he was 11, maybe not 11. But he had this experience. Let's see, at the age of 11. Oh, that's when he was always afraid of death. And so at the age of 11, he'd die in bed and simulate. He'd lie in bed and simulate his death. I mean, really. And then he had a friend who died, and that really shook him. And so when he was around 17, I think, he kind of decided that he was going to do this, that he was going to walk around the world. And so then he started making plans, and I think he started when he was 25. And a friend made a little cart for him. And so he put all his stuff in this little cart, this little two-wheeled cart, and planned out his route about where he would go and where he'd walk. And then, of course, his mom wasn't thrilled about this. She just thought it was, you know, oh, you know, you're not actually going to do it. This is just like a whatever, 17-year-old's idea. But he actually planned it out. And then his dad told him when he left. He said it was like, go for it. Of course, he had, I think, like a computer with him and a cell phone with him and et cetera, et cetera. And he did find somebody to sponsor his trip. So he had a little bit of money there. And so he had, whoops, driving by Braille here. He ended up walking 21 to 24 miles a day for roughly half the 7 years he was away. In total, he walked 28,000 miles, traveled through 38 countries, and crossed every continent except Australia. And the only reason he couldn't do Australia was because of COVID. Because Australia was one of the countries that went crazy, et cetera, et cetera. So when he was in a particularly rough area, he would pay to spend the night indoors, but mostly he's just sleeping outside. Picked up a dog along the way, picked up a rescue animal that I think he called Savannah. That dog went with him for 25,000 miles. He said once a guy did steal his backpack, went running out of the store, and he said, thought, oh man, I'm gonna have to, because everything was there in that, you know, his passport, all that kind of stuff. But then he went outside and everybody, he said, was pointing, and he looked over and the police had the guy who stole his backpack up against the wall, and his backpack was sitting there beside him, so he got his backpack back. And so he said, I was so lucky. So, and I thought, you weren't lucky. That was Jesus. So anyways, I mean, he had a lot of interesting experiences, but I just thought, wow, I've always wanted to do something like that. I now, at this point in my life, I don't know that I would be able to do something like that, but it really does sound fascinating. He did say that for the first 2 years of this experience, that it was really about him and his mind and thinking about life and those kind of things. But then, I mean, he said after that it came much, much more about the world. And I started to understand it more. I became more interested in what influences people and why countries are the way they are. You know, and he talks about the otherworldly beauty of Kazakhstan and the otherness of Uzbekistan, where locals had never met foreigners. And this just sounds just like loads of fun. And of course, people who met him, some of them hadn't even thought about walking around the world, and so it was the type of thing. He's telling them what he's doing, and they're just looking at him like, what? What are you doing? But on May 21st, 2022, 7 years and 49 days after setting off, He was back in Haddington Township, which I guess is just a little town. And he said, what was his happiest moment? And he said it was crossing the finish line, because I imagine he let them know he was coming and they erected a finishing line. And, you know, so he said, the World Walk is a beautiful way to live, but it's also very difficult and exhausting. I missed my friends and family so much. He said, as I crossed the line, the primary feeling was relief. It's over. You did it. And then they had a huge party. So, you know, which you would. Land almighty. You know, someone walking around the world. But apparently, whatever the criteria was for walking around the world, he's satisfied. So there you go. This is going to be a little interesting from here on out, because I back into my garage now. So, you know, that's something new. Although I'm not quite, I ain't quite got it yet, because I've got the backup camera in and I've got the calibration done. But it's really kind of interesting. I went ahead and put lines on the ground in the garage. I used a painter's tape. But I'm getting used to which way do I turn the wheel to get the car moving in the right direction, and I'm actually getting better at it. But it's very interesting. So anyways, I am pulling into the garage, and we do have small groups tonight. It's one of our last few times, so I'm gonna have to go. But yeah, walkabouts. That just seems like just loads of fun. So this is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.